Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. Okay, we are live. Live at noon. Welcome everyone to the broadcast. Let's let everybody load in here and we're going to get started. It's going to be a great day. Thanks for all of you that are in here early. I haven't done live at noon since before summertime. I think I stopped in the summer going live Thursdays at noon, but now that summer's over, we are back. So I'm grateful to see you. It might be the remnant here today, but it's all good. This might be your best chance to get a call in, but it's going to be a great day nonetheless. So if my chat will load, that would be great. Let me check my phone, make sure that we're live. This chat, Restream. Come on, guys. What are you guys doing over there at Restream? Hopefully the internet stays up. I've had internet outages all day today, so hopefully we can keep it up here. Okay, there we go. Everybody's loading in now. Let's check the Facebook. Join. Are we live on Facebook? Come on, Facebook. Why aren't you working? It says it's connected, but I don't see the live. Well, that's unfortunate if it doesn't work. Let me know once you're in here. We're going to give everyone a second to jump in because for some reason, things are not working. We'll get it going. We'll trim this out after, so it's no big deal. You're on lunch? Well, thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. I probably should have announced this more than just this morning. Let's see. I don't know why Facebook isn't working. That's not cool. Well, it is what it is. This will be a great time to call in. India, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for being here. There we go. People are loading in now. Yeah, I don't know why Facebook's not working. It is what it is. Hopefully people are coming over to YouTube. It's really weird. Huh. It's been a long time since Facebook hasn't worked. Anyways, welcome to the broadcast. Today we are doing Let's Talk Supernatural. We will be doing live at noon on Thursdays. And I know everyone thinks I'm going to be 5 minutes late. So yeah, we still got 3 minutes till people think that we're going live. But we're going to be doing Thursdays at noon now that the summertime is over. So we'll be back doing Monday night teaching, Tuesday night podcast, and then Thursday at noon. And then after this noon call, for all the monthly partners, we have our prayer call moved from Monday to Thursday at 1:30 p.m. So it'll be live at noon, and then at 1:30 p.m. for all the monthly partners, we will have the prayer call. So if you're a monthly partner on YouTube or on my website, make sure you jump in at 1:30. We're going to be praying for you and praying with you. You don't want to miss that. If you're not a monthly partner, you can become one in the description down below or the pinned comment. Just go to my website, isaiahsaldivar.com/partner. All right, sorry, I was driving. I couldn't type. No worries. Don't type and drive. Do not type and drive. This is episode 77 of Let's Talk Supernatural. A lot of people in here probably don't know what this show is about because you just started following a few months ago, and we haven't done this in almost 3 months. So I'll explain it right before we start. We'll get started in about 2 minutes. Everybody that thinks I start 5 minutes late, which I usually do because I have no intro, are barely getting on right now. So we're going to give them a moment to jump on, and then I'm going to open up the line. For all of you asking for the number, in about 2 minutes, the number will go on screen. So there'll be a phone number and there will be a Zoom ID. So you can join via Zoom or you can join by calling in. What's up, Raphael? Hello. Okay, people are loading in. I don't know why it took time to start going here today, but it's working now. It'll be, if you're in Eastern Standard, 4:30 Eastern Standard will be the prayer call. 1:30 Pacific Time, which is 4:30 Eastern Standard Time. Season 4 Chosen Watch? I don't know. I haven't looked into whether we're allowed to watch or not. All right. Okay, so we're going to get started here in 1 minute. So this is how the show works. You call in and you ask your question. Here's an important rule. One question per person, okay? These are questions about really anything that has to do with God, the Bible, the supernatural, an experience you've had, maybe some advice you need. That's all great. We're not doing like, I'm calling in to get a prophetic word. This is not prophecy hour. We're not calling in to get Zoom deliverance. This is not Zoom deliverance hour. We have other streams like that, but this is specifically Q&A. So ask your question and then I'll do my best to answer it. I don't mind you sharing about like how you found the streams and stuff like that, but please don't start getting on trying to sing a prophetic song. Please don't get on telling your entire testimony from when you were 4 years old. We want to be sensitive to people's time, and there's a lot of people that are waiting in the call. So we open the call, we let about 5 to 10 callers, and then we lock it. If we get through those, we'll open it again. But we go for an hour because we have a prayer call at 1:30. So if everybody's fingers are ready, yeah, if Facebook didn't work today, I don't know. It is what it is. Hopefully Facebook starts working again. But as of right now, Facebook Live is not working, even though I am connected on Facebook Live. So, unfortunate. Oh, you know what? I did the wrong Facebook. That's why. I did my personal page. And, oh, yeah. Okay. Well, Facebook's not working today. It is what it is. Yeah. I did my personal page on accident, and there's a glitch on it where it locks the thing. It is what it is. All right. So, makes sense. It was my fault. Okay. There's 500 people on. Thank you for being here. We will be live Monday night, Tuesday night, and Thursday at noon from now on, now that summer's over. Without further ado, get your fingers ready. If you're inside the United States, call the phone number that's about to be on screen, and they're going to ask you for the meeting ID, which is about to be on screen. If you're outside the U.S., you can join via the Zoom app, via, I don't know what it is, but you can join via the Zoom app and come in internationally. But if you're not international, don't join on Zoom. Make sure you call, okay? Here we go. Without further ado, let's talk supernatural. Are you guys ready? Is this the right button? I don't remember how to do this. There we go. Numbers on screen. Go ahead, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, Cherish. Go ahead, ladies and gentlemen. Call, call, call. I'm going to have my finger on the lock button just so when it fills up, I will lock it. The number is 669-900-9128. The meeting ID is 841-5253-4629. So there you go. God bless. One question per person. Thank you. Yeah, if you're on Facebook still, well, they can't hear us, by the way. So get on YouTube. All right, all right. Fingers on the lock button. First 5 to 10 callers, then we are locking it. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Zoom. Join in, join in, join in. Call, call, call. This is your best chance to get in the very beginning. It still has not let the callers in yet. The moment the phone callers load, I will lock it. All right, let's see. We're going to lock it right now. Okay, it's locked, it's locked, it's locked. The lines are full. If we get through people, some people like hang up, you know, while they're on hold waiting. So it is what it is. If people hang up and aren't on here, then we'll go to the next people. But here we go. All right, let's start. We're going to take our first caller. And whenever I take your call, please mute me if I'm in the background because it'll echo and sound terrible. So please mute me in the background. All right, here we go. Thank you so much for calling in. Please let me know your name and where you're calling in from. Hello. Oh, our first caller hung up. Okay. I don't know if they panic hanged up or they got kicked, but they hung up. Let's take the next caller. Thank you so much for calling in. Please let me know your name and where you're calling in from.
Hello. Hi, Pastor Isaiah. This is Janae. I'm calling in from Phoenix, Arizona.
Hi, Janae. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. What's going on today?
Oh, nothing. I'm just so happy to finally get a hold of you. I've been trying to get in for 2 years now. So I'm
wow. Really happy to see. You've been trying to call in for 2 years?
Yes. I always either miss you or I get, you know, you only accept a certain amount. So I just wait till I can get in. I'm so thankful that I got in.
All right. Thank no pressure or anything, but it's she's been waiting 2 years. So I don't, you know, I don't feel any pressure or anything like that. No worries. I'm just kidding. Well, thanks for calling. What's going on today?
Yeah, I just have a question for you. I just want to find out, like, I hear all the time about how folks are saying, you know, believe in God's promises and God's promises, you know, are true. But how do I know what God's promises are for me? Because when I read the Bible, I know what the promises he has for the children of Israel and, you know, for those who believe. But how do I know specifically what are his promises to me? Because I feel like I've been asking him in prayer for quite some time now, and I just still don't feel like I've gotten an answer.
Yeah, well, I mean, you stated what I would have said, which is in the word of God, there are promises for us, you know, that God's going to take care of us, that God's going to provide for us, that God's love, that we have destiny, we have purpose. All the promises of the word, they all apply to us, right? The Bible's written for us. It applies to us. So that's one, which you already know that. I would say when it comes to personal promises, I've received some through prophetic words. I've received some through prayer, my time in prayer. I've received some through feeling like a peace in my heart that God was going to do something. I've received some through a still small whisper where I feel like the Lord whispers something to me. For example, maybe it's a loved one that the Lord's going to save, or a friend that the Lord's going to save, or something else similar to that. And I'm praying and praying and praying for that. I'll at sometimes hear like the Lord be like, I'm going to do this. I'm just keep believing. I'm basically giving me his word that he's going to fulfill something in my life. And it's not always some super dramatic. I'm sure you have received promises. You might just not have known it, but it's not usually a super dramatic thing where it's like, oh, a voice out of the sky speaks to me. Usually it's like a whisper or a still small voice that I'll hear when it comes to the promises of God. And the Bible says the promises are yes and amen. So you can take it to the bank. If the Lord says he's going to do something, he's going to do something. And I've had that for my ministry where I'm trusting the Lord, like, Lord, what are you doing? Lord, I don't understand this. And the Lord's like, I've given you a word, Isaiah. I've given you a word. And if God's given you a word, like a prophetic word for something, that's also a promise. So if God says, I'm going to use you to reach people online, okay, that's a prophetic word God gave me. That's a promise. I'm going to take that to the bank and say, okay, Lord, I know you want me to do this online thing. Even though I don't want to do it, you've given me your word that you're going to reach people through this ministry. And you've given me a promise because it's his word. So there's many ways to do it. I can't give just one specific way. I've also had people come up to me and prophesy to me like, I feel like the Lord's saying this to you. I feel like the Lord's giving you this word. And those words are his promises. So I'll remind the Lord like, hey, Lord, you said you were going to do this. The Bible says in Isaiah to bring to remembrance to the Lord. So I'm like, hey, Lord, you said you were going to do this in my life. Hey, Lord, you said you were going to heal me. Some people have gotten a promise for healing. Some haven't. And then some have seen healing without a promise. Some are still waiting on the promise of God. And the thing is, his ways are not our ways. So a lot of times when we get a promise or a word, we don't think it's from God or we don't believe it because it hasn't happened right away. But some things take a long time. You know what I mean? Sometimes God will give us a promise and it's not till years later we see that come to pass. I have people right now, 13 years ago, the Lord said, I'm going to save this person. Trust me with that. Put them in my hands and just pray for them. And I'm still 13 years later praying for them. But I'm trusting that the Lord is going to do what he said he's going to do because he's not a man that he should lie. So I would say, yeah, just continuing to press into the Lord, continuing to have an ear to hear him and letting him impress things on you, letting him speak through his word. Maybe he'll highlight something in scripture. And you're like, read that. And you're like, wow, that's to me. You know, you ever read the Bible and you feel like it's speaking directly to me. And those are how the Lord will illuminate and give you those promises through his word. So yeah, there's various different ways. And even if you feel like I don't have any promises, God can still work. God can still do what he wants to do, whether we feel like, oh, God hasn't given me a word or a promise. But I would say every prophetic word is a promise, but we also have to do our part, right? We can't just say, God gave me a word and I'm just going to do nothing about it. Like, we have to also participate. We have to put work in. We have to put time in. If the Lord told me, you're going to do this online ministry and reach all these people, and I'm going to use you for this, 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 I still had to learn about thumbnails and titles and descriptions and algorithms and cameras and lenses and lighting and a million things and what mic arm to use and what the best microphone is, because I'm representing God. And so I want to represent him properly, right? I want to have some broken down cheesy setup if I'm representing God. But I had to put time and work in, even though he said he was going to grow this platform. I didn't grow it. He did. But I had to also put work in. So there is work as well. And a lot of times, not you, but people will get a word from God and they don't want to put work in, but you gotta walk out the word. Like when Jesus told the lepers, go to show yourself to the priest. And the Bible says, as they walked, they were healed. Sometimes we get a word and we don't want to walk it out. But the Lord's like, hey, you got to get the word and you got to start walking and doing what I've called you to do for that word to come to pass. So hopefully some of that helps you.
Yes, thank you so much. Okay, thank you, Pastor Isaiah.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for calling in. I'm sorry it took you 2 years. I feel so bad about that.
No problem. Thank you so much. This has been a blessing. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you. God bless you.
Okay. Take Bye-bye.
Care. Wow. She's been trying to call in for 2 years. Oh, I feel bad. I'm sorry, guys. I opened the call. I let in the first 5 to 10 people, and it is what it is. I'm going to be doing these every week. I'll probably change it up and do some variations, but yeah, praise the Lord. Okay, we have some more callers we're going to take here. Thank you so much for calling in. Please let me know your name and where you're calling in from.
Esther from Arizona.
How are you, Esther?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing good. What's going on today?
I have kind of a weird question. Because I've been getting really close to God. I started reading the Bible again few years ago with a fresh perspective as a mother that has adult children. And I, you know, when I don't hear from them, I feel bad, even though I know they love me. And I started to feel so convicted about God not hearing from me, and about not hearing from all of us, and not getting what he deserves, literally, like so much more he deserves. But so I started this journey back. But throughout my life, I have, I guess, kind of seen the other side. Some people can see like things. Since I was a toddler, I've been able to see kind of some of the other spirits and things that are around. And at one point, they were just so scary. I prayed, God, please, like, I don't want to see these anymore. And now I don't hear his voice as clearly. And I'm wondering if blocking anything, if, you know, if maybe that was a gift and I almost like rejected him by asking for it to go away.
Asking the gift of where you're able to see things in the spirit?
Yeah. And because I can't, they're very scary. Like a lot of the things are very scary. If I describe them, like, they're very scary. Not all of them, but even, you know, it was interfering with my life. I could meet a person and almost see like that they were a very bad person almost just instantly, or a very good person, but it was affecting my life so much. And, you know, around the same time he healed me of my depression and stuff like that, everything went really quiet. And I just wonder, am I blocking God, or is this just a time that, you know what I mean? How do I know if it's a time for silence?
Yeah. So I would say the gift is the discerning of spirits. I'm sure you're aware of where it talks about in 1 Corinthians, where there's all the 9 different spiritual gifts. So discerning of spirits is what's actually called distinguishing spirits, is where you're able to recognize what spirit is functioning in somebody's life or in a certain situation, right? If somebody's functioning with like a demonic spirit, if it's the Holy Spirit moving, if it's an angelic spirit, you're able to discern. And in that discerning, you could see, you have spiritual senses where you can see in the spirit realm. And we see in the Bible, people would see in the spirit realm. In the Old Testament, Elisha's servant Elisha said, open his eyes. And Lord, open his eyes so he can see what I see. And he saw chariots of fire all around their enemies, right? So there is a spiritual realm. We all know this, that if you're a Christian, you should know this. There's a spiritual realm going on around us. And so it definitely sounds like that gift was working in your life. I had a similar experience when I first got saved. I was seeing demons everywhere, angels everywhere. And I was so overwhelmed.
They were waking me up.
Yeah. And it was like overwhelming. And I asked the Lord to like, I don't want this right now. Like, help me to control it. Help me to. So now I'll see things when I'm ministering to people, but I don't see them all the time unless I'm like really praying that the Lord would show me something. So it's not overwhelming where it's like all the time. But now it's like, if I'm praying at the altar, I'll see like a dark figure over somebody's head, or I'll just be able to discern what's going on sometimes spiritually with them. I will say, I don't think that you quenched the Holy Spirit. I don't think that you grieved the Holy Spirit. I don't think you made the Holy Spirit mad by saying like, hey, please, I don't want to see this. It's overwhelming. Because it is overwhelming. It's overwhelming. Yeah. Just the fact that you know how real the spiritual realm is overwhelming, let alone actually seeing what's going on in the spiritual realm. And some of you are like, I wish that happened to me, but it's actually overwhelming, you know?
It is. I'd wake up with like a little girl with no eyes wrapped around me when I was asleep. And I knew that's not a little girl calling me mommy and stuff. Like, it's scary.
Yeah.
I want to hear God. But I guess you got to take the good and the bad.
Yeah. And also I'll say, and this doesn't necessarily apply to you, but I want just to say it for all the audience. And also it might partially apply to you. I don't know. Another thing is before somebody goes through deliverance, I don't know if you've gone through deliverance or what. Sometimes if you are struggling with a demonic spirit, you might be able to see in the spirit realm because you're seeing through the eyes of the demon, or the demon are seeing through your eyes, whatever you want to say. So let me just give you an example. Yeah. I've met people that say, like, I see demons. It's terrifying. I don't feel like it's from God. I don't want this. It's not like they'll tell me, like, it doesn't feel like a spiritual gift. It feels like a curse. Like, I don't want to see demons. And then they go through deliverance and they no longer see demons anymore, right? So it wasn't necessarily a spiritual gift for that specific person. It was actually, they were experiencing a manifestation of the demon that was specifically inflicting them. Now, that not to say that's the case for you, but sometimes these things cross over where it is a spiritual gift at moments where you're ministering, and then sometimes it is a symptom of maybe going through your own bondage and getting set free from that and going through deliverance for that. So there's different realms. I can't say, and maybe sometimes you might not know 100% what it is, but it does overlap, if that makes sense, where it could be either or. And then also I'll say that God is not, let me say it this way. There are seasons where the Lord isn't speaking as clear as he is in other seasons. So there'll be seasons of your life where you're hearing the Lord clear. So for you example, right? You're like, man, I'm hearing God. I'm hearing a whisper. I'm hearing him in the word. I'm having dreams where he speaks to me. And then you go through 2-3 months where we'd call it like a dry spell or a dry season. Well, I don't want to say spell, a dry season or a wilderness season where the Lord's not necessarily speaking a lot. And I look at those as times of growing, times of enduring, times of God shaping us, times of God weaning us off of always needing to hear his voice. And so it's like, I tell people when somebody's doing a test, right? I've taught this before. And the teacher's giving a test and he says, hey, during the test, I can't talk. During the test, don't ask me any questions. And the teacher's silent during the test. And you can say, teacher, I need help. Well, no, I'm not helping you right now because you're in a test. So the teacher doesn't talk during the test. Sometimes when we're being tested, it feels like the Lord is silent. It's not that he's silent. It's that he's taking us through a testing season. And he wants to see if we're going to make it out. He wants to see if we're going to have faith even when he's not speaking. Like, we're going to have faith even when we're not seeing miracles. We're going to have faith even when we don't feel his presence. And so we have to remain consistent, whether we're hearing his voice or whether we're not hearing his voice. Our job is to stay consistent and say, Lord, I trust you. Even if I'm not hearing you, I still trust you. Even if I'm not seeing you, I still trust you. Even if I'm not experiencing miracles, I'll still serve you. I'll still trust you. And that's the times that are hard. It's easy when God's speaking. It's easy when God's always there and moving and supernatural stuff, but it's like, could we worship in the storm? Could we worship when he's silent? And in those moments, the Bible says, like, be excited when you go through trials and testing, for it's an opportunity to grow and to gain endurance. So that could be what you're going through as well. That's just a mix of some things I've seen over the years of what could be going on.
So just keep going forward and keep growing close and see what happens.
Absolutely. Yeah. Don't stress. I mean, don't stress. You haven't made God mad.
I almost like, I'm like, oh, I wish I hadn't asked for it to go away just so I could still hear both sides. But I really, you know, it was affecting my life so much.
Yeah. No. You didn't do anything
in a bad way.
You didn't do anything wrong. The Lord understands. He knows what we're going to pray even before we pray it. He's not mad at you. You're not grieving the Holy Spirit. You're not quenching him. You're just in a season right now where the Lord is growing you. And so you just get, okay, Lord, if you want to speak, I'm ready. I hear your voice. And I've had moments where it's like, especially in my early days, like, Lord, speak to me, speak to me. And I heard the Holy Spirit one time tell me as I was begging him, talk to me. He was like, what do you want me to say? But what he was showing me was and this is the truth. Back then, I only wanted to hear God because I had unbelief in his and how real he was. And I was like, Lord, if you speak to me, I'll really believe that you're real. And all it was my own unbelief wanting. And the Lord's like, what do you want me to say? Like, I'm proud of you. You're praying, you're reading, you're preaching, you're doing the right thing. Like, why do you so badly want me to talk nonstop? I've given you my word, read the word. And I was like, oh, okay. So I do need to wean myself off of emotions a little bit. Cause I was relying on the voice of God to prove the existence of God. When in reality, I just need to have faith and believe that he is who he says he is.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and that definitely could be me, just being like, hey, I want to hear you. I'd love to hear your voice again because it's beautiful. But
we've all been there, and everybody in the chat, we all could relate. You know, we all are like in that same place with you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks so much for calling in.
All right.
God bless.
Bye.
Great questions, guys. Great questions. All right. Let's take the next caller. I'm going to take somebody on Zoom here. It might take a minute to load. And I'm reading the chat the whole time. And if you guys have something good to say, say in the chat. Omar, how are you?
We've all been there, and everybody in the chat.
Oh, hey.
How's it going?
Good, good. How about yourself?
Good. What's going on today?
Hey, I've had a few spiritual attacks in my dreams. And maybe you can help me with this, but it's just been really difficult in terms of having to sleep and being under a lot of temptation. So it's just been a little difficult for me to kind of get into the word. I would like to know how you would go about that.
Oh, what specifically? Fighting the temptations at night or getting in the word?
Fighting the temptations at night.
Yeah, so it depends on what the temptations are, but I had somebody on the podcast recently that was coming out of like a strong porn addiction. They were dealing with lust and they said something so good. He said, I won't even allow my phone in my bedroom. I won't even allow my computer in my bedroom. So like in my room, I have no electronic devices. This is what he said. He was like, in my room, I have no electronic devices because the temptation was so strong for him. I don't know what your temptation is, but for him at night, it was this to go watch pornography that he was like, I have to make safeguards in my life. Cause he was like, I know me, I know my struggles. I know how weak I am. And if you think you're strong, that's usually when you fall. Like, take heed lest you fall, right? Woe, the mighty have fallen. So doing things practical. I know we always want everything to be spiritual and a lot of things are spiritual, right? There's deliverance, there's praying, there's fasting, there's reading the word. These are all spiritual things, but sometimes overcoming the temptations, because the Bible says that God always gives us a way out when we're tempted. There's always a way to get out of the temptation. Sometimes it's practical things like no television in my room, no cell phone in my room, no social media until I can get this under control. Because a lot of people, they're like, yeah, I'm being tempted with lust. But yet they're still on Instagram scrolling. They're still on TikTok scrolling. They know that a video might pop up and trigger them, yet they're still there putting themselves in a place where they're going to be tempted. So sometimes it's not even spiritual. It's getting yourself out of a place where you're going to get tempted or avoiding the places you are tempted. Like, oh, I get tempted when I do this. Oh, I get tempted when I see this. Oh, I get tempted when I'm bored, right? Idle hands are the devil's favorite thing. And so I need to fill my life with stuff. Right? You're praying, you're reading, you're this, you're at church, you're at community, you're at Bible study, you're getting involved in a hobby, you're getting involved in a sport, you're going outdoors, you're going to the gym, you're going jogging, you're going hiking. For me, it's like going and playing pickleball, whatever it is, you're making yourself where you're not sitting at home bored, allowing that curiosity to spark. And again, I don't know what your temptation is, but these are all things that people don't think about. Eating right, working out, you know, living, being healthy, these are all going to attribute to you not giving in to temptation or being tempted. And sometimes it's not deliverance, it's discipline. So that's one thing. Another thing is, if you are struggling at night, I would highly recommend either putting worship music on as you sleep, or even better, putting the audio Bible on, right? Put the audio Bible on, maybe not the book of Revelation, because I've done that before and then I'm having dreams of like end times. So I would put on the book of John, the book of Matthew, Mark, put on 1 Corinthians, put on books of the Bible, fall asleep to them, and then try to fall asleep praying. I used to do that all the time, like praying myself to sleep, right? You're just praying and praying and praying, whether it's in the spirit, whether it's in tongues, whether it's just normal, but you go, okay, I'm laying down. I'm going to not be on my devices. I'm not going to be on TikTok. I'm going to just rest my mind and I'm just going to pray until I fall asleep. Because we all have that period of, depending how tired you are, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes as we're falling asleep, audio Bible's on, I'm in prayer, and I'm going to bed with the armor of God on. Lord, I'm praying the armor of God on, and I'm seeking the Lord in my sleep. I mean, before I go to sleep, and I'm falling asleep in his presence. I'm falling asleep in prayer, and that will help tremendously a lot of times when you're battling at night. But I would be interested in more specific, like when you say you're tempted at night, what do you mean by like temptation at night? What is it specifically that you're fighting?
So it's, because it's just randomly occurred. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. It randomly occurred where I'm sorry, my dog.
You're good, no worries.
Come here, buddy. Okay. Yeah, it randomly occurred when I started getting back into the word, because I started to really dive in with the Lord. I started to really confess my sins and tell God that there's so much I need to work on, which in terms of like anything that's hidden in darkness to bring it to the light. And ever since I've been praying that prayer, I've been getting like dreams of like witchcraft. And specifically speaking, like a recent dream I had was no ears, no eyes, no mouth. And it just kept telling me repetitively, no ears, no eyes, no mouth. So I went into prayer telling God, like, what is it that I need to do? What is it that, is it me having to fast more? Is it me having to reach out to someone or a spiritual brethren, or what do I do?
And so specifically it's the witchcraft.
Yeah, witchcraft, and also like a mixture of temptation from, I don't know. It's like, it feels a lot more like sexual, like a sexual temptation. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely do the stuff that I'm saying. Have you been through deliverance before?
I have not. I mean, I'm still learning about deliverance as you're speaking. I've been reading about, I've actually been watching a lot of videos about deliverance, and I just got done watching the movie Jesus Come Out in Jesus' Name.
Oh yeah. It's a good one. That's a good one.
And it's a really good movie, and it really sparked up a fire in me again in terms of like not only having to pray for my family members, but in terms of trying to understand my walk with God, because I know everyone is different, but in moral of the story, I've been dealing with a lot of temptation and witchcraft.
Yeah, and going through deliverance can clear some of that up. You know, sometimes it's hard to pinpoint what the source of something is, but if you do have something you need deliverance from, then it has access to you and it could attack you at night, especially if you're praying like, Lord, search me out, purge me, get rid of anything in me that is not of you. And you're really praying and seeking the Lord, and the Lord's purifying you. Those impurities and those impure spirits start rising to the surface, right? Now they're hidden down deep in your life. Now they're coming to the surface. Now they're making themselves known. Now they're manifesting. And in that, you're having dreams and you're having attacks. And what I've noticed about demons are they're opportunists. And if they can't get us in the day, they'll get us at night while we're most vulnerable, because we're asleep, but our spirit's not asleep, right? There's no sleeping in the spiritual realm. Like, there's no reason to sleep in the spiritual realm. Sleeping is so that our body recovers, so that we can rest, so our energy regains, our memories process, all these physiological things. I don't know. I'm saying words that are too complicated for myself. But all these things that are physical aren't happening in the spiritual realm. So what I've noticed is people are in a place of like you, where you're like, I'm really seeking the Lord, I'm praying, I'm reading. And then the demons are going like, okay, we're going to attack him at night where he's vulnerable. And then people have these night attacks where sometimes deliverance can help with that. So yeah, check out the deliverance map. See if you can meet up with someone for deliverance. And it might take away all these symptoms you're going through at night.
Oh, sounds good. Definitely. Thank you, Isaiah.
Awesome. Thanks so much for calling in, bro.
All right. Of course. Have a good one.
God bless. Great questions, guys. We have a few more people. We'll see. We're going to end the stream at 1 o'clock. So about 30 more minutes. And if we can get through these three people, we may reopen it. If not, we'll do like a little 10-minute Q&A before I end. And I'll just answer some questions from the chat fast before we go into our prayer meeting at 1:30 for the monthly partners. If you're a monthly partner, we have a prayer meeting at 1:30. Please join it. That'll be great. All right, here we go. And if you join monthly partnership today, I'll email you the link as well. So if you're just joining today from the website, you'll get an email before it starts at 1:30. Thank you so much for calling in. Please let me know your name and where you're calling in from.
Hi, my name is Jasmine. I'm from Arizona.
How are you, Jasmine?
And I'm good. You have a lot of people from Arizona.
I know,
on
you're the third
today.
One. I'm like, Arizona is just getting through today.
Yes.
Awesome.
So I was just calling because my husband and I recently got married, and 3 days before we got married, we met with our pastor. And during that meeting, my husband felt convicted to confess a lot of like past sins that I wasn't aware of. And he said, you know, after that confession, after that time with our pastor, he's been like super under attack, dealing with like constant perverted thoughts, lustful thoughts. And he's told me that this wasn't really an issue prior. Like, you know, he would have the occasional lustful thought if like someone attractive was around or whatever, but it's now at a point where it's like 24/7 and it's in his dreams, and he's just like exhausted. And we've been fasting, we've been in the word and prayer every day. He does self-deliverance, and I've done deliverance on him. We've met with people from the deliverance center, and it's just like nonstop still. And I just don't know like what we're possibly like missing, or like what causes things like this to stick around, because it's been like a 3-month thing. So I don't know. Do you have any advice, anything you think we could be missing?
Yeah, I mean, I would say 100% going through deliverance would be my first thing, and getting somebody to really sit there with me and call these things out, work these things through, and put pressure on any spirits there, specifically because one of the main symptoms of being demonized or having a demon, either one, same word, is like tormenting thoughts, but also dominating thoughts, right? We know the devil dominates people. He forces things on people. God does not dominate people. So when you're getting thoughts nonstop, it's intrusive. You can't get rid of them. It's random. Like you're eating breakfast, you're eating lunch. It's not even lustful at all. And all of a sudden you're getting nonstop bombarded and you just can't shake these thoughts. I would say it's probably demonic spirit. And the reason why I say that is because I got delivered from that. I got delivered right after getting saved from a spirit of lust. And the reason why I knew I needed deliverance was because I was getting the most perverted, crazy thoughts that I couldn't get rid of at the most random times. And when I was not saved, I thought that was normal because I'm like, well, yeah, I'm doing terrible stuff. I'm sleeping around. I'm watching porn. So yeah, of course I'll have those thoughts. But then after being saved, I was born again. I was a new person. I'm like, what is this? Why are these thoughts in here? These are crazy. And then a few days later, I got deliverance and never, ever had those thoughts again since, right? And I don't have intrusive thoughts like that. Like I don't have these lustful thoughts all the time. And sadly, a lot of guys and girls struggle with these overwhelming, dominating, lustful thoughts. And even sadder, pastors that aren't delivered, that have not gone through deliverance, that need deliverance, because they also have them, they teach their congregation that it's normal. So pastors will literally say, oh yeah, brother, that's normal. Just keep fighting. It's not normal. That's not God's desire, is that he would fight like this his entire life and constantly have lustful thoughts dominating him. That's not the will of God. Jesus came to set the captives free. So that's freedom in the mind as well. So that's freedom from these thoughts and these strongholds. So I would say 100% seeking deliverance. Now, of course, there's the flesh, the sinful nature, but the Bible says we crucify the flesh. We no longer have to live under that sinful desire, that sinful nature. So if you're still, if you're a Christian and you're still living under that, what you feel like these sinful desires, then it's not the flesh because you've crucified the flesh. You're serving God. There must be an unclean spirit there hiding somewhere. Because it's not, if you're crucifying your flesh, if you're a born-again believer, you've overcome the power of sin, then it has to be some demonic spirit going on there that's more than just your flesh talking to you, right? Especially if it's very, very perverted, which would be like an unnatural lustful desire, because there's natural desires, then there's unnatural desires. The unnatural desires are demonic. Those are not the flesh. Those are demonic things happening that we need freedom from. So it's likely as he's pressing into the Lord, as he's seeking God, as he's going after God, like I told the guy earlier, these things are now coming to the surface and it's just something that he's going to have to deal with. Has he gone to someone that really will sit with him and do deliverance and like take their time to call these things out? Has he gone through that before, or has he manifested or gone through any type of deliverance?
Yeah. So he was doing self-deliverance and then we went to someone on your deliverance map and they really pressed in with him. And then I did deliverance on him for like 4 hours at our home.
Okay.
And he was manifesting and he did feel like a lot of breakthrough and I saw and like felt things leaving him.
Okay.
But he still, it's like mainly in his dreams and like that's where it's mainly happening, but it's still kind of like not as strong, but he's still getting these thoughts. And like, he's done everything he can to like deleted Instagram, deleted all of these things. He's not going to the gym like right now. And so it's like, I just feel so bad for him because he's really like trying to protect his eyes and like we're going through deliverance, but it's like, he's still struggling.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is, it's a battle. It's a struggle. It's a fight. These things hang on and it could be, I can't tell you 100% guarantee, but it could be that a bunch of stuff is leaving and did leave and there's still stuff that needs to leave. You know what I mean? That's definitely common where you go through deliverance and it's a process and like you, things come back, things also haven't gone and there's stuff hiding and you might have, you know, say 20 demons and 18 have gone and there's two more hanging on. It's like, it's just pressing in, it's pressing in. But I will say there's a point where there will be breakthrough, there will be freedom and those things will be gone completely. But it's the warfare and the wrestling and the fighting. And unfortunately, a lot of pastors and preachers and teachers teach that everything's super instant when it's not the truth. It's not the case. We live in a very instantly gratified world where everybody wants everything now. Everybody wants everything instant. And that's just usually not how it works. Not only is it not how it works in the unseen realm, but it's not how it works in the Bible. The Bible always speaks of sowing and reaping and time and planting and harvest, and things don't always happen instantly right away. We have to wait on the Lord, and he may be there where he's waiting on the Lord for a breakthrough and waiting to get free from this, and he just needs to keep pressing into his freedom. I just put myself in his shoes, and I'm like, if I was him and I was battling like this, I would just keep pressing in for breakthrough. I would continue to meet with people for deliverance. I would continue to get prayer. I would continue to do self-deliverance. I would just keep doing it till I'm fully free and fully delivered. It's like, just keep fighting, keep being desperate, keep coming to the Lord, keep responding to the altar calls until you get free. It's not wrong to keep going for prayer. It's not wrong to keep going to the altar. It's not wrong to keep asking people for deliverance prayer or seeking the Lord or fasting. And I think that's probably where he's at now, is just continuing to fight to break the spirit that he's fighting with.
Yes, 100%. Well, thank you so much. That was super helpful.
Absolutely. I hope to meet you guys. I'll be in Arizona in January. Actually, I'll give you the date right now. I'll be there. Let's see. I don't think I've announced this yet, but I'll be there January 26th. I will be at Without Walls Church in Mesa, Arizona. So hopefully I'll get to meet you guys there. I'll be probably close to where you guys are.
Yeah. Well, we went and saw you last time, and he left speaking in tongues for the first time.
Come on. I love that.
So yeah, we're definitely eager to go see you again. That would be great.
Awesome. Well, hopefully I'll have some time to be able to meet you guys and then let me know, like, hey, we talked on your call and stuff like that. So that'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be great. Well, God bless you, Isaiah. I hope you have a good rest of your day.
God bless. Thanks so much for calling. Take care. Bye. Great, great questions today, guys. We have two more callers we're going to take, and then we will do a couple minutes of ending and Q&A or whatever we can do before we end. We have a prayer call at 1:30, so I got to get my stuff going for that. But if you're a monthly partner or you're a YouTube member, make sure you join that weekly prayer meeting at 1:30 p.m. It's going to be powerful. And excuse me. We're back on... choked on my own spit. We're back on Thursdays... Help me, Lord. We're back on Thursdays at noon. So we'll be live Thursdays at noon every week, God willing, unless I go to heaven or Jesus comes back. All right, here we go. Next caller. Thank you so much for calling in. Please let me know your name and where you're calling in from.
Hello, my name is Jesus, and I'm calling from Houston.
How's it going, man?
Everything good over here.
Good. What's going on today?
I actually want to know how can I pray, because I can only give God like good 5-minute prayer, like deep prayer. I do talk to him throughout the day, but later on, I do want to pray even more, but it would just be the same prayer all over again. And it's one of the reasons why I haven't done deliverance, because I tried it once and the person said that they heard voices laughing. So it discouraged me.
So the person you prayed for, they started hearing voices laughing when you started praying?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's normal. That's a manifestation of a demon. So that's actually not a bad thing. That's a good thing, because that means that you're getting the demon mad when you're praying. You're getting the demon riled up. And that's, I would say 90%+ of every deliverance I do, the person either says, I feel like laughing, or they start laughing. And for whatever reason, I don't know if it's to make light of it, but that's the first manifestations demons do, is they start to laugh. I was just talking to a guy a couple days ago. He's like, yeah, somebody was praying for me and I just wanted to laugh, but I was embarrassed to laugh. And I'm like, no, don't be embarrassed. That's a demon starting to manifest and starting to come up. And so it's actually not a bad sign that they wanted to laugh while you were praying. It's the demon. It wasn't them. And the person probably thought it was them, but it wasn't. Why would they laugh during prayer? So yeah, I would actually tell you, that's a good thing, because that means that your prayer is working. You're actually getting the demon to manifest. And of course, the chat right now is all saying, like, that happened to me as well. I see that. Anyone in here that does deliverance will tell you that that's super, super common, is you start laughing and it's uncontrollable. And if you're in the chat and you have that whenever someone starts praying, it's a demonic spirit, just so you know. So some of you might not know you have a demon, but if you're laughing like that hysterically for no reason while someone's praying deliverance over you, it's a demonic spirit. Mocking is what it is. My little sister just said, it's like they're mocking. Yeah, they're mocking God when they're laughing. It's very, very, very common. So that's what I would say to that. As far as prayer, I do have like long teachings on how to pray and what we should do in prayer. I would recommend, number one, I would recommend continuing to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit so you could pray in tongues, because that's going to help you a lot, because then you don't have to worry about what to say. The Spirit will pray through you because the Spirit knows what to pray. But also, I would go into prayer with just starting with worship and praise, like just thanking God. Jesus, I thank you for what you did on the cross. Jesus, I thank you for what you're doing in my life. Jesus, I thank you for saving me. Put on some worship music to help you. There's nothing wrong with that. So you start with some worship. You start with some praise. You start with magnifying God and just being in his presence. I think that a lot of people think that you have to constantly be saying something, but you don't, right? It's like if I'm hanging out with my wife, we're not constantly talking 24/7. I'm not in the car like, okay, and what else, honey? Can you do this for me, honey? Can you do this for me, babe? It's a relationship. We're just spending time together. So if you will go in your room or go in your car on your way to work, on your way to school, and you're just 20 minutes, put on the worship music, like, all right, Holy Spirit, I just want to spend time with you. I worship you. I praise you. And just sitting in his presence and letting him know, like, I'm here for you. Like, let the Lord know, I am dedicating my time to you, Lord, because you mean that much to me. And he wants that. A father loves spending time with his kids. When my kids are like, Daddy, I want you to hang out with me. I want you to go. It moves me. I'm like, okay, I want to be there for you because you want me there. God wants to be where he's wanted and celebrated, not tolerated. So don't feel obligated, bro, when you pray to be like asking nonstop, right? Or God, do this, God, do this, God, do this. There is a time for that. That's called petitioning, where you ask the Lord. And he wants you to ask because he says you have not because you ask not. So that's great. But your whole prayer time doesn't have to be that. So maybe 5 minutes, it's that. You're like, hey, after 5 minutes, I don't know what to do. Just praise him. Just worship him. Just put your hands up and just be silent in his presence and say, okay, Lord, if you want to speak to me, I'm here. And then you have your worship music on. So that's going, right? And you can sing along with that. But you don't have to feel obligated to talk the whole time. I have friends where I like being around them because they don't feel like we have to talk the whole time. Like, I personally don't like hanging out with people where the whole time we're together, they have to be talking. Like, bro, I'm tired. I'm thinking. I don't want to. Can we just drive and not talk the entire time? So I feel like sometimes with God, we think we have to talk nonstop, right? And it's not that way. It's not that way. We could be in his presence. We could relax. We can rest. We can, cry out to him. We can ask him for things. We could say, Lord, speak to me. We can magnify him, memorizing scriptures. We could read the Bible in his presence. Like, go into prayer and read the word. Put on some worship music, instrumental. Literally just type in instrumental worship music. Put it on and read the Bible. I'm like, all right, Lord, I'm praying. I'm in your presence. I'm seeking you. I'm creating an environment where you can speak to me. But the Bible says the Pharisees repeat themselves over and over and over again, thinking that their heavenly Father is going to respond to them because they keep repeating themselves. That's not how Jesus taught prayer. Prayer is relational, not transactional. So it's not just repeating. And I get stuck in that, bro. Like, I'll go into prayer and I'm like, okay, I'm a broken record here. But sometimes we just have to be like, all right, Lord, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to petition. I'm going to intercede, which that means I'm going to pray for others, stand in the gap for other people. So you start praying for family members, right? So you're like, hey, my cousin Jeff, he has going through this addiction, this addiction, this addiction. I'm going to start praying for him. Lord, I pray right now that you'd help him. Lord, I pray that you would deliver him. Lord, I pray that you would save him. God, I pray that the addictions would break. I'm not repeating myself over and over, but I'm bringing him to the Lord. I'm interceding for him. And then next, it's like, oh, my aunt, she's also an unbeliever. So Father, I pray, I'm going to spend 3-5 minutes praying for my aunt. Lord, I pray for my aunt that you would reach her, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd bring people to her that would preach to her. I pray, Lord, that you'd open her eyes to the truth. And you're just letting the Holy Spirit lead you. There's no right way to pray. You're letting the Holy Spirit lead you as you're doing this. And at the end of the day, the Holy Spirit will teach you to pray. The first thing I told God at the altar when I encountered him was, I don't know how to pray. I literally told God that. I said, I don't know how to pray. You're telling me to pray. I don't know how. And he told me, and he said this, I'll teach you. And he's taught me to pray. And it's not some religious thing. It's not eloquent. Like, if you hear me pray, you maybe have been on some of my prayer streams. It's not fancy. It's not like some special formula. It's just, I'm just talking to the Lord. I'm just asking the Lord. I'm just worshiping the Lord. At our 1:30 prayer call today, we're just praising and worshiping and asking him to fill us, glorifying him, you know, praying for each other's requests, being led by the Spirit. So yeah, just take the pressure off yourself. You just be very chill about it and get some good worship music, you know? Go on Spotify and type in best Christian playlist of 2024. Just put on some worship music and just start seeking the Lord and praying.
Okay. I have been wanting to pray in the Spirit also, but one day I did see a video with you and somebody else talking about the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues, and I prayed the prayer, and I believe by faith that I did receive it. But then the next day, I was driving, and I just decided to pray a little bit of tongues, and the person that was right next to me, she right away said, "That's not tongues," and it got me discouraged. So I do pray in tongues, but I don't know if I'm actually praying it or not.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I wouldn't listen to other people's opinion on whether you're speaking in tongues or not. It's like, who are you to tell me that I'm not speaking in tongues? If you feel that it's genuine, if you feel it's the Lord, if you are doing it, and this sounds kind of weird, but at the same time of you speaking in tongues, you can think about other things because it's not your mind doing it. It's the Spirit praying out of you. Then I would say it probably is genuine. If you're struggling to do it, it's like you're making up the words. It probably isn't tongues. But if it's just coming out of you and you're like, I could think of other things while I'm doing it, it probably is the Holy Spirit. But just continue in your time of prayer, continue to pray in tongues and ask the Lord, God, fill me. God, fill me fresh. But don't let other people talk you out of it. Don't let other people discourage you because, you know, it's not anyone's job to tell you whether you're speaking in tongues or not.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. Thank you so much for calling in, brother.
Thank you. You too.
All right. God bless you. Great questions today, guys. You guys are awesome. And we have 900 people on. Praise the Lord. On a Thursday at 12:50, our first Thursday back. So that's great. And we're going to keep building this up. People will know it. We're live Thursday at noon, and we'll keep it growing. And maybe next week I'll just do an Ask Me Anything type of stream, and then we'll do like a Praying in Tongues stream. We'll do different stuff, and it'll be good. All right, last caller here. Adele, you are loading in. I feel like your name's familiar. Let's see. Adele, how are you?
Oh, hi. I'm doing good. I'm calling in from Malaysia.
Malaysia. I'm a little bit tired. Awesome. Awesome. What time is it there?
It's about 3:51 a.m., so there's a 12-hour difference. Oh. I'm a little bit tired, but, you know, this is all for the glory of God.
So thank you for calling in at 3:51 a.m. You are awesome.
Yeah, no problem. So I have, like, one question. Recently, I have been actually saved and been reborn again, because
awesome.
I was lukewarm my whole life, and then 6 months ago then I had like a radical encounter with God, and so that changed everything. And so I want to get into deliverance, and I was thinking about putting myself on your deliverance map as well. And then I noticed that in your deliverance application form, it says that, well, one of the required questions is how much experience do you have? And if I'm being honest, I can't really say I've actually had real life experiences delivering demons out of anybody. I did try once with my mom because I suspected she had a spirit of rage, but then she was like not manifesting or showing really obvious conclusive signs. So then I'm wondering, should I first get experience? Like,
now,
just
is there anybody around you on the map? Like, is there any other people in your area that are on the map at all?
Sadly, no.
Okay.
It doesn't look like anybody else in Malaysia is doing deliverance.
Yeah, so the hard part about it is it's like, I want to do deliverance, but no one around me is doing it, so I can't find a team to get experience. But if I don't have experience, you guys aren't letting me on the map, but on the map is the way I'm going to get experience. So it's almost like it's almost a bad cycle because you can't get on because you need experience and you can't get experience because you're not on. So what I want you to do is fill out the application and put on the application that you specifically spoke to me. I'm going to actually text the girl that runs it right now after this call and just say, hey, I spoke to Isaiah. I want to be on the map. And then what we'll do is in your bio on the map, we will put, hey, I'm new to deliverance, but I'm willing to meet up and pray with you if you need prayer. So this way, when you get people to call you that need prayer, they can know you're new, but you're willing to pray them through. Here's the deal, Adele. If I'm in Malaysia by you and I need deliverance and there's nobody around doing deliverance and I see on the map a girl that's like, hey, I don't really know, I've never really done it, but I'm willing to pray you through, I am going to contact you and say, all right, and by the way, my deliverance girl that runs the map, she's here, so she's already listening to this. But I'm gonna call you and say, hey, I know you don't really know fully, you haven't done it, but I'm willing to let you do it on me because I'm so desperate for deliverance. When I got delivered, Adele, my little sister did it on me, and she never did deliverance in her life, and she fully delivered me. So people that are desperate will be willing, even if you don't have that full experience, and that will also give you experience, right? It'll get you something started and get a deliverance team going there. But definitely for people like you, I'm willing to make exceptions because I think we need to allow people the opportunity to learn and to grow. And as long as people know beforehand that you're new, they can't get mad. And if they don't like that, then they don't need to come to you. That is what it is. So that's what we'll do if that works for you. And then hopefully people in your area can contact you and say, hey, I want to help you. Pray for people. So then you can get a little team going. And this is for everybody in the chat. There's 1,000 people on here right now. If you want to get started in deliverance and you're not on the map yet, contact somebody in your area and say, I don't need deliverance, but I want to help you do deliverance with people in the area. And everybody needs help. So yeah, but of course for Adele, I know that doesn't work for you because there's nobody in the area. But for those watching, definitely contact people on the map and say, I want to help you. I want to get involved. I want to learn to start doing it. But for sure, Adele, if you're comfortable with that, I would love to get you on the map and let people know like, hey, you're new, but you want to learn and you're willing to pray people through and you can kind of get, you know, learn while you do it. That's how I learned. That's how my sister did deliverance on me. We all have to start somewhere and it doesn't help if we hold people back because they don't have enough experience.
So I'm really happy to hear that because I was actually not really sure if my application would be approved then, since I can't really say that I've had any experience, but then I do want to get started as soon as possible.
Yeah. So fill out the application. The girl who runs it, she's in here right now. So yeah, she said, put in the bio new, but willing to pray you through and make sure obviously you've watched my videos, watch the deliverance training videos, get familiar with the way we do it. And for sure she's here. So I'll have her put you on and hopefully we can get something started in Malaysia. That'd be amazing.
Okay. So actually about that, I'm actually technically going to be moving to Brisbane on Tuesday. So I won't be living in Malaysia anymore. But then I do see that in Brisbane, in that section, Queensland, I think there aren't a lot of people doing deliverance there either. So does this still apply?
Absolutely. Yeah, it doesn't matter where you are. Just make sure that, and then again, this goes for everybody, that you are filling out the application with where you're going to be. And if you change addresses, just make sure you email our support email on my website to let them know, hey, I need you to change my address because if not, it'll stay. So yeah, there's a support email for all of you that are listening that you can have them change your address. But for sure, wait till you move before you fill it out because we don't want, you know, your old address on there.
Right.
Awesome. Thanks so much for calling in, Adele.
Yes, thank you, Isaiah.
God bless you.
Have a good day.
God bless you. So cool, guys. People calling from all over the world. That is just amazing. I love it. All right, we are going to hang out for just a couple minutes. If you want to give to the stream today, you can. If you become a monthly partner on the website or YouTube, on YouTube, you'll get the link already. It'll be in the membership perks tab. But if you join on my website today, right now, I'll email you before 1:30 because in 30 minutes, we are going in our Zoom prayer call. And I can't open it to all of you because it crashes Zoom. We've already tried. It doesn't work. This is just for those at monthly partner because it's just too big. There's 1,200 of you right now on. And if we all get you in Zoom, it crashes Zoom. I've tried it 3 times and all 3 times it crashed Zoom. I've talked to Zoom. I've emailed them. I've gotten the max plan, which is 1,000 people all at once, and it continues to crash the Zoom server. There's just too many of y'all. Zoom was not made to have 1,000 people on a conference call like that. And if I do the other Zoom feature, it's pointless because it's just like the stream. So yeah, we're doing that. Appreciate you guys. Marcel, thank you for supporting. Again, guys, the deliverance map is deliverancemap.com or isaiahsaldivar.com/deliverance. Find someone in your area and make sure that if you contact somebody and you don't need deliverance, but you want to help, you let them know that you're willing to help. You want to learn, you want to grow. So there's that. All right, you guys can give right now if you'd like. There's all the links to give. We're viewer supported, so these donations keep us going. We appreciate your guys' support. We are going to be live now. Remember, Monday night, Tuesday night, and then Thursday at noon. And then we'll be uploading videos as usual. It's been awesome. We uploaded that video about Cocomelon. If you didn't see it, it's already at 300,000 views, and we just posted it a couple days ago, which is crazy. So that video is doing really good. The reaction videos just They do good on YouTube. YouTube recommends them like crazy. But we're going to keep putting videos out and doing all that good stuff. All right. Praise the Lord. Okay. Any questions you guys have before I get off? Because I'm going to get off here in about a minute because I got to get ready for our prayer call at 1:30. I'll be sharing. If you guys didn't hear the story, last week, somebody literally died. Actually, it was just a couple days ago. What's today? Today's Thursday. What was it, on Tuesday? Yeah, it was on Tuesday. Tuesday morning while we were playing pickleball, a guy had cardiac arrest and died on the pickleball court. And we literally did chest compressions on him and prayed for him. I was holding his legs in the air and we prayed for him and the Lord brought him back to life after like about 5 to 10 minutes of no pulse, not breathing. The guy was 100% dead. For those of you that don't have an update on that story, if you want to hear the story, go to my stream from Tuesday, which was the stream about secret sin. And the first 20 minutes, I share the story about him getting literally raised from the dead. I saw my first person get raised from the dead on Tuesday, which was crazy. But my whole point is we prayed for him. He came back to life. And yesterday we got an update. He did have a cardiac arrest. The doctor confirmed he did have cardiac arrest and he got a valve replaced in his heart. But yeah, it was a cardiac arrest like we thought. And the Lord brought him back. So God is raising the dead in America. Just saw it Tuesday morning, literally of all places, at the pickleball court. And he's doing good. He's in the hospital with his wife and kids. And they're grateful that everybody was there, obviously, when it happened. So the Lord brought him back. But I will talk to him one-on-one at some point. And I will clearly tell him it was the Lord. Okay, it wasn't just chest compressions that brought him back. It was the Lord. I was right there. I was holding his legs. And it was the Lord. Yeah, crazy. All right, guys. The Lord's out here raising people from the dead. He is a good God. 13 years I've been believing that I'll see that one day and be able to pray for somebody that was dead and never thought it would be on the pickleball court. Never thought I would see my first dead person raised while playing pickleball. I love you guys so much. I will see you guys on the prayer call and then I'll see you guys on Monday. I don't know if I'll release a separate video with the testimony of the guy getting raised from the dead on Tuesday, but I might. It's in the stream already, but I might make a separate video. We'll see. I love you guys so much, and I'll see you guys soon. All of you in the prayer call, we'll see you at 1:30. Thank you guys for partnering. If you just became a monthly partner, you'll get an email from me with a link to the prayer call right now. Love you guys. God bless. Take care. Take care, guys. Thanks for being here. See you guys in the prayer call. God bless, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content and please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.